Dartmouth College says it has a sweeping plan to address sexual assault on campus. That's after a scandal in the school's psychological and brain sciences department made national headlines. But as NHPR's Brita Green reports, as the plan gets underway, critics both on and off campus say it's a hollow promise for reform.
The details of what happened at Dartmouth are shocking. They first came out in a legal complaint in the fall. Seven women saying they were harassed, assaulted, even raped by tenured faculty members over a number of years. They say administrators turned a blind eye. The college disputes this, but they recently introduced a plan for some significant change. Joe Helbley is Dartmouth's provost.
I think done right, this will be hugely meaningful for Dartmouth, and I hope it'll be a model for other campuses. We are committed to seeing this through and seeing this forward.
He says they learned from best practices across higher ed and are instituting, among other things, a new sexual misconduct policy, mandatory online trainings for faculty and staff, outside reviews of all academic departments for cultural and equity concerns, plus more resources for the Title IX office and mental health counselors. It may seem like a long list, but to some, it's nowhere near enough.
Vague and unsatisfying. Great that there's oversight. Great that they've shown some intentions, but really insufficient so far.
This is Diana Whitney. She went to Dartmouth in the 90s and says she was assaulted her freshman year. She's helping lead a group of alumni who say sexism has been a long-running problem here, and they're lobbying for more aggressive change. Today, Whitney's on campus to check out a Me Too exhibit by students. It's on display at the library. She pauses in front of a poster board and reads some of the stories that are presented from alums over the years.
I'm going to read this. Me Too started for me at Dartmouth. I just don't know why some hungover, entitled prick had to ruin my graduation day. I mean, one of the things that's happened since the lawsuit is that it's catalyzed those of us who have been assaulted at Dartmouth to share our stories, and that it's actually been, it's been powerful and empowering to speak of things that were not spoken of.
That mandatory training the college is planning, she'd like to see more of it and more tailored to specific groups. Plus, she'd like the school to hire confidential victims advocates, new positions, to support survivors. In the wake of the abuse scandal, a faculty group has also emerged as a strong voice on these issues. Jonathan Zinman, an economics professor, is one of the leaders.
We are getting involved. We are agitating. We are speaking and speaking out because we want the institution to do better.
He says they, too, would like to see changes to the administration's proposal, more faculty input, and critically, a more comprehensive accounting of what went wrong in the psychology department to allow for such dramatic abuse.
I think that's important to do ethically. I think it's important to do intellectually as an institution that values historical inquiry. And frankly, I think it's the right thing to do strategically.
Helbley, the provost, says they are looking at the past, at what went wrong, but they're limited in how much they can disclose. He says he's glad people are engaged and wants faculty, students, and alums to know their voices are being heard. Already, he says, they've adjusted the online trainings they were using after some faculty members raised concerns that they perpetuated racist stereotypes. But among those who feel like they don't have the administration's full attention are the seven women who actually filed the lawsuit, two of whom are still on campus. Still graduate students in the same department. Vasagi Chohan says she had been repeatedly harassed and was ultimately raped by a professor. She says a big issue for her is bringing in more women and faculty of color to work at Dartmouth and not just in entry-level roles.
People who can actually take risks in order to make change are people with power.
This is one of the administration's priorities, diversity in hiring. But she'd like to see more ambitious goals, particularly in the psychology department, where men far outnumber women in senior positions. It's frustrating to her and others, like Sasha Britsky, another plaintiff, that the college insists there's no evidence of discrimination there, especially when some women who've left the department say sexism was rampant.
I think in general, what's kind of disheartening about this initiative is that there's just this kind of like forward-looking, this is the future, we're going to establish all these policies, and that's great.
Britsky is also still a grad student, finishing her degree.
But there's not any willingness to pay any sort of recognition to the fact that women's lives were ruined by some of the actions that occurred on this campus, whose entire professional careers were derailed because of the actions on this campus.
Both she and Chauhan say the advice they got pre-lawsuit from other academics was to put their heads down and focus on their science, that they could change the system once they safely got their degrees, got a job. She's proud, though, that they chose otherwise.
And the day-to-day is hard. There's some days that I don't feel like I can be productive or do science because I'm so kind of distracted by all of the residual fallout from all of this.
But she still loves her work, is passionate about her research, and knowing she's making a broader difference for the future, she says, makes the struggle all the more worth it. For NHPR News, I'm Brita Green.